Hey, Karen, just so you know, I didn't get an email or reminder, so I don't know if anyone else did, or if that's why some people aren't here yet.
Lisa, I'm dying. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't even see myself up there. Oh, folk time. Everything changed.
I know it took me a minute, but you're in here as folk time. So I will let me make a note of it again, and we got to figure this out.
I got an email.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. But this is like Lisa, there's several things she's not getting them for. So let me make, if you know, sometimes this happens to me. I'm doing an email and once upon a time I had the incorrect email just by a letter, but I forget that. And so it autofills with an old email. I'm wondering, Lisa, if there's something like that. So let me, it's Lightree, right? Where'd she go? Are you there? Oh, she's muted. Okay. We can talk about this afterwards. But so, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is our last official class. Oh no, I don't have my glasses. Where did I put it? Over there. I'll get them at a break. Okay. So, wow. Wow. You know, let's just start with a little meditation to just kind of take a little check back to when we started all this back in beginning of June, June 12th, I believe. It's now 2 months, 2 solid months later. I'm seeing everybody, come on, this is so fun. And back then I had really short hair. And now if I do this, my hair will be standing up. It's like, you know, a lot has changed in 2 months. And some of you have had some really beautiful insights along the way, which has been so fun. I mean, last Monday's class, Louise, your face after we did that meditation was just a moment of, it was beautiful, right? And everybody's, I don't know if everybody's had them, but I know a lot of you have had them. And my hope for today is to not bypass those, you know, not minimize, not ignore those, but give you a chance to kind of notice where have you come in these 2 months? What were the insights for you? And to also just make it really clear that yes, you can live without anxiety. Starting tomorrow, I don't know, but you know what? Day by day, little by little, it's going to shift. And it's like that autobiography in 5 chapters, right? First chapter, we're down the road. We fall in the hole. It's everybody else's fault. It takes us forever to get out. It's dark. It's lonely. It's awful, right? All right. Second chapter. I go down the road. I fall in the hole. I saw it coming this time, but I'm still in there. It takes me forever to get out. It's still everybody else's fault. Third chapter is that transition point where we start realizing, oh, wait a minute. This isn't about everybody else. This is about me. Oh, wait a minute. If I'm feeling any kind of anxiety, and I'm going to use the big word here for anxiety, that's about the past. It's not about the present moment. The present moment is just what's happening. And we, each of us, can deal with what's happened, with what is happening in the moment. If somebody is bleeding, you have the option to go, ah, and faint. Or you have the option to go get something and put it on the wound and stop the bleeding. And if necessary, call 911. You deal with it, right? It's what's in front of you. And what most of us have lost along the way is the belief that we have the tools to deal with it. But you do. And somewhere along the way, we got the idea that there is a right way to deal with it. There is a right way to deal with it. There is a right way to deal with it. And if you don't do it that way, there's something wrong with you, or you're going to get in trouble, or something really, really phenomenally bad is going to happen. And we can add a few more to those that aren't coming to mind right away. But the fact of the matter is that if you show up authentically for yourself with your experience in the moment, you can handle whatever comes. You can. It's when we bring all that other stuff with us. We bring all of it with us unconsciously, right? It's not conscious. It's just all those little things following along. Then we are, there's got to be a really lovely metaphor that's going to come to me in like 5 seconds, please. You know, it's all, oh God, I got it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. I think I've only watched this movie once and it scared the shit out of me. So I never watched it again, but what they always show you now, a lot of you are too young for this movie, but there's some of you who remember it. That little arm coming out of the ground and Carrie reaching up to grab her and shank her down. That's what's happening. We're in that moment and all those ghosts from the past are coming up and grabbing us and trying to drag us back in to those old fears, those old patterns. That wasn't bad, huh? How many of you got that analogy? How many of you have seen Carrie? Okay. Most of you, Laura, you didn't get it. You did? Okay. Marcia, you got it? You didn't see Carrie? That you don't. Just pretend that what I just described, it's just like there's an elephant graveyard and it's all the old things coming up to try and pull you back into those old patterns. That'll suffice. So what we've learned in this class, hopefully, is there's a lot of material that's come your way. An enormous amount of material. And techniques. And the technique from Monday's class, if you haven't watched it, I really recommend it. And 4 o'clock and seven o'clock both had two completely different. They're different. It's the same, but different contexts. So, which I would go whichever class you've been attending, go to that one first, but at someday check out the other meditation and just, you know, it's similar, but it's a little different. But that meditation on Monday night is the ultimate, let me bring all those pieces of myself back together in a way that is loving and caring and kind and paying attention. And it's your road. It's the one that's the ultimate nurturing meditation. And as some, I guess I don't want to say too much right away because I want to leave it open for you. But so what I do remember, Ramon, you had asked that Nat and I demonstrate a little bit of what we do when we're working together, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Nat's asking me, so exactly what, Mom? Like I'm thinking mm-hmm. in her mind, she's thinking, oh my God, am I going to be sobbing in my bed and everybody's going to see me or what is it of the, that you're hoping to have us demonstrate, Ramon? Do you have any, can you?
So I was hoping like Nat, when she says she goes into like, you go into the market and you feel this coming up. So if you can, you can reenact something like that. And then how your mom is kind of walking you through, you know, kind of helping you regulate and then helping you kind of go through the process of being able to do that on your own. In the moment that it's occurring.
I miss you. You cut out for the first part. You said,
oh, sorry.
So what was that? What'd you say?
Sorry. When you were saying like you have instances where you go into the market and you feel this anxiety coming up or you're going somewhere, kind of if you can go through something like that and then have your mom kind of talk you through, you know, how she's regulating, how she's making you kind of go through the process. And so that I guess for me, let me speak for myself is that I understand exactly what you're going through because I'm going through the same thing. But in those times, like, what exactly is she telling you? What exactly are you doing to regulate? What exactly are you doing? And how is she walking you through that? When I'm going through it, I have an example of kind of how you guys are doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nat. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. Okay. So we will definitely do that. And Kelsey, where'd you go? You had something too, but I can't find where I wrote it down. There was something you wanted us to cover today also. Do you remember what it was, or did we cover it on Monday?
I
think we covered it on Monday. I had emailed you asking about if any of the techniques we learned would be really good for helping just drop something at the end of the day, like work.
Oh, gosh, that's right. You did. You did. Yeah. I'm sorry. I went into a bit of vacation mode this week. It's been a long summer, a lot going on. So you're right. You did email me that. So, okay. So let's cover that. All right. And
Hey, Karen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There were two other I took notes this time because I wanted to make sure you're going to talk the situational with dialogue with Nat. We talked about that. There's six sections. Take the six sections of anxiety, RAIN technique, and tell us which exercises to go with which.
Yep.
And then you were going to go through the I and N and RAIN technique again.
Okay.
I think that was the three.
Perfect.
Because trust me, like you, I went on vacation mode too. So I wanted to write it down before I completely went there.
Thank you, Ramon. That's awesome. Okay. And so if there's something, if there's a hole somewhere that you're going, this would be your day to talk about it, and ask about it. And so what I'd like to do is take this first half and do the demonstration with Nat, go over the sheet, the handout I gave you that gives you the steps, the regulate, allow, investigate, and then you have a choice point, and then nurture, take you through those. And then we'll discuss what the RAIN technique is as opposed to the way we've modified it for this class. And then in the second half, you know, just because it's like, what? I was talking to somebody else last night who said, you can only control it. You can't ever get rid of it. And I'm like, that's the medical world. They have to say that. They have flanks of lawyers telling them they cannot make a claim. Are you following me? Brenda trying to put this class up on Facebook, they wouldn't let her because we were making a claim. And so Facebook police, who don't police anything else, right, policed our little class here for making possibly a false claim. So let's be really clear. That is one reality where you have lawyers who are afraid you're going to get sued, say that, oh, no, back it up. You can only control it. Mindfulness training us to be in the present moment, because in the present moment, if you're completely present in the moment, there's no room for anxiety. There's only the present moment. But that leads us into the whole world of meditation. And in the world of meditation, the Buddha told us, yep, there's suffering. Yep, there's a cause for suffering. Yep, you can figure out the cause. And when you do, you will be free from suffering. So meditation world takes a whole different slant, a whole different look at it, because meditation is taking us to that deeper level where we are really deeply looking at the patterns in our mind. There's the everyday mind that keeps you functioning. There's the, what we would call the samskaras, those holes in the sidewalk, right, that you keep falling into, the way you keep coming up to it, and boom, you're back in again. And then we have the vasanas, which we talked about in one of the classes, which are the thoughts that get us going down that street in the very first place. And so when we learn to look at the vasanas, and we really grasp the teachings that come with meditation, that impermanence is the only thing that you can count on. Impermanence is the way of all things. And our journey is to make peace with impermanence and change. And when we can accept that huge, profound truth, that allows us to really enter into a realm where we live without attachment. Put it this way, we recognize attachment. So the journey isn't to say, or the goal isn't to say, I have no attachments. The goal is to say, oh, I'm having an attachment. I'm experiencing an attachment. It's to notice it. Did you hear the profoundness of that statement? The human experience involves, we're going to be attached to things, we're going to resist things, because that's impermanence. Just, whoa, it's like, you know, the wave coming. It's like, no, don't hit me. And so we don't want that reality. So we get attached to ideas, to people, to things we thought the way they should be. And we resist what isn't. And therein is our suffering. So the way out isn't to say, the goal isn't to have no attachments. Because that's human. That's your humanness. The strength, the wisdom is to know and go, oh, I'm attached to everybody coming over today. Oh, I'm attached to my kid getting a certain kind of job. I'm attached to my kid not being a hippie. I'm attached to my kid not getting a tattoo. I'm attached to my dog living another 3 years. I'm attached to this faucet I have in the bathroom that just broke and I just love it. I'm attached to the idea that everyone should wear a mask. I'm attached to the idea that nobody should wear a mask. You see, it's like attachment, resistance, you're two ways in to what is the source of your suffering. And as soon as you have that, you're on the other side. You are now not that attachment. You have observed the attachment. You cannot observe it and be it at the same time. Are you with me? You cannot observe it and be it at the same time. If you are observing it, you are not it. Bing, bing. This is your power place. This is your choice place. So in meditation land, yeah, as you train your mind to become present, as you train your mind to recognize the thought patterns and the habits and the deep, deep beliefs that are operating underneath you, and well, you know, beneath the surface. Wow. Once you recognize them, you can actually heal them, correct them, change them. And once you've done that, you know, there's no anxiety. So in the second half, what I would love to do is take a little bit of time to talk about, let's talk about some situations and let's say, what does it look like to live without anxiety in that situation? Let's just talk and try and find, let's find ones that I've actually lived so I can tell you for a fact, not from a theory, that, yeah, this is what happened. So the second half, I'd really like to give us an experience of what it looks like to live without anxiety. So, how's that? Yeah? Okay. So Nat, do you want to, should we, wait, let me ask, any other questions, anything else we want to cover before Nat and I do a performance?
I just wanted to put out there that it is important to see how that works from both sides, because I can experience it and I know how to calm myself down. But when someone else is having an attack, it's like I am avoidant of that situation because I don't want to have to do that for myself. And so it's really hard for me to calm my other people down, you know, without getting triggered. So this is going to be nice to watch.
What a great insight, Lisa. Great insight. Yeah. Brenda, go ahead and talk. I'm just going to grab my glasses. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm on the other side of this. I mean, yes, it'll be interesting to see. I'm also sitting here going, okay, that's great. We all don't have a Karen, like in our, you know, we don't always have someone. So I guess I'm going to watch this with a little bit of like, how, if you don't have someone, how do you, is it just that we're going to see the techniques that we use for ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I didn't have it. I had me. I just did what my teachers told me. I actually did it. And what happens is we read the books, we hear it, but when the moment comes, we don't do it. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And so what's here is that each of you are becoming your own Karen. I mean, that sounds so funny, but you are, you know, you are becoming you. And some of you have said, you hear my voice in your head, right? I would hear Kriyananda's voice in my head. I can hear Harvey's voice in my head. It's a starting point, but it's ultimately, it's all inside you anyways. And what we're trying to do is have you find that teacher, that inner teacher within you. But we're not calling it your inner teacher in this case. We're calling it Buddhi. B-U-D-D-H-I. We've talked about the everyday mind, manas. We've talked about the samskaras, the habits of thought. We've talked about the vasana, the deep, deep one underneath it all. But you have buddhi mind, which means the discerning mind, the discriminating mind that can notice and watch. And that's the part of your mind that you are activating, that you are cultivating. When you become that voice in your head going, okay, regulate. Okay, whoa. What's the color? B-L-U-E. Okay. All right. Okay. What's going on in my body? Let me just allow it. I mean, are you with me?
Brenda, can I give a suggestion? What I've done for myself, I do this for clients or whatever, is I have little index cards. So I have the RAIN technique written out on an index card. I carry it in my purse. I carry some of different techniques that I put out on index cards. And I carry them with me. And I started doing that with some of my clients and they really appreciate it. And I wasn't doing it myself. So now I do it myself, but they appreciate it because they can just pull it out because they can't think of it in the moment, right? You can't, oh my God, what did she say in class? But if you have just a little note, keep it in your purse. Keep it somewhere with you in your wallet ring. So, anyway, just a suggestion.
Thank you, Kathleen. And what Kathleen just described is the way all of this was originally taught, right? It was taught with these acronyms, RAIN, or there's three of this, there's six of this, because we need a tool to hang these things on so that in the moment we can find it. Right. And so what Kathleen is just was just shared with you is it's not a weakness or a flaw. It's a bona fide tool that has been used since before we could write and had books and things like that. It's a bona fide teaching tool. Thanks, Kathleen, for that. Seeing if we were all in person, I'd have probably made cute little cards with the thing on it to hand out, but it's, you know, having those, it's not the same sending them to you to print out, but that's okay. You can make your own. So anything else before Nat and I demonstrate? Oh, Nat, this is just, what's your anxiety level right now?
I was like, I'm not going to have to act at all because I am totally feeling it right now.
Okay. All right. Then let's go that. So this is how it would start. She would send me a text because even if I'm at her home, I'm upstairs with the kids, right? And she'd go, and what would the text say, Matt?
I'm not okay.
I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Can you come help me? So at this point, Nat's laying on the, should we say on the couch? Where are you right now? On your couch?
I'm in my room on my bed.
Okay. This is where we go. And so I come in and I go put my hand on her hip or something, you know, just not right up in her face, but just somewhere. How are you doing? And so Nat, what's going on right now? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really buzzy. I'm feeling really anxious and I feel like I'm about to go to the bad place.
Okay. And so where are you feeling it?
Feeling it in my chest, and I'm feeling nauseous.
And is it, it's just feeling it in your chest and you're feeling nauseous. Is it, which one is stronger, the chest or the nausea? Which one is a stronger sensation right now?
My chest.
Your chest. So can you describe that sensation to me?
Yeah, it's really tight. It's going up in my chest and my head feels kind of foggy and it's growing. And I'm getting kind of sad and scared because I feel like now it's coming back and I made so much progress and it's getting big and okay. I don't like it.
Okay. So it's coming back and you thought you'd gotten over it. So let's regulate for a moment. Let's regulate for a moment. And so let's breathe in C-A-L-M. And as we exhale, can you just exhale S-O-F-T? Breathe in C-A-L-M. Exhale S-O-F-T. Beautiful. Now with your next in-breath, can you take it down into your belly? Maybe even put your hand there. Breathe in C-A-L-M. This time, as you exhale S-O-F-T. Can you pull your tummy all the way in and completely, completely empty the lungs? So everything's soft but your tummy. Can we try that? Couple more breaths. Deep breath in. And as you exhale, there's the tummy coming in. Completely, completely empty the lungs. And then see if you can just soften your shoulders, soften your body.
Still there.
Okay. It's still in your chest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is the color of this sensation in your chest?
Yellow.
It's yellow. Okay. All right. So let's breathe in. Let's breathe in. And as we exhale, let's exhale Y-E-L-L-O-W. I-N-H-A-L-E. Exhale, Y-E-L-L-O-W. And so as we're doing this, no, don't open your eyes. Don't open your eyes. Just stay there. Stay there. Okay, so I want to be just while you're there, Nat. I'm going to be right back. I just want to let everybody know right now. I'm with her. I'm totally watching her body. I'm watching her face, and I'm cueing into all the different cues as to where has she softened, where has she not. And if I was with her, I would say, okay, so whoa, let's soften your shoulders. I would say soften your jaw. Soften your eyes, and I would cue into her body to help her soften those places. And at this point, I'm just still trying to regulate her enough to allow the sensation to be there. And my sense is she's not regulated enough. And so what I would say is, so let's inhale to the count of, let's do inhale 2, 3, 4 and exhale S. O-F-T, and just stay in the sensations of the body and the count. Inhale, and you count, Nat. You count as you're inhaling. You can do it mentally. And as you exhale, can you spell exhale? And let's just one more. Counting as you inhale and soften as you exhale. And then I would ask, okay, so what color is that exhale, Nat? What color is the exhale?
Blue.
All right. And so I wonder what would happen if you were to exhale and that exhale turned into just sparkles and rainbows and unicorns. Okay. So what if we inhale YELLO and we exhale blue sparkles and rainbows and unicorns? Okay. And so what I can tell when she smiled is we popped out of it and now we can go into allow. So now let's just allow that feeling to be there. And as if we just allow it, can we just soften the shoulders and soften the chest?
Yeah, but this is when I start thinking and I'm like, okay, but yeah, I feel this way and I have a bunch to do today. And then what if I have a panic attack later today and then you're not here?
Okay.
And then what am I going to do?
You know? Right. Okay. Yeah. So, oh my God, what if this goes on all day? I have so much to do today. What am I going to do? It's not going to happen. And I can tell she's believing every word I say instead of telling me to shut up. Right. So I say it again and I'll say future thought and I'll come back to her. And I'll go, Nat, what are you going to do? Oh my God, it's coming back and it's going to go on today. You have so many things to do today. And now you're falling into anxiety again. And oh my God, what are we going to do? It's coming back.
Yeah. Stop. Future thought.
Okay. Future thought. Okay. Oh my gosh, it's coming back again. It's never going to go away. Oh my gosh, it's coming back again.
Future thought.
Oh my gosh, it's never going to go away.
Future thought. Future thought. Future thought. Future thought. Future thought. Future thought. Yes. Got it.
Okay. Got it. This happens all the time. And this is a back and forth. And excuse me for just not, don't, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not.
I'm okay.
Are you now? Okay. Yeah. But do you see what happened was we're so sucked into the thought that we've done this 400 times. She knows. And when I'm repeating those thoughts back, it's so she can stop them, but she can't stop them. She's believing them and they're those hands just sucking her back down into that graveyard, right? And it's like into that hell of sorts. And eventually she remembers but I keep at it until she says it with enough strength that I know she's out of that force field. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And so you have to do that for yourself. With that same intensity, then Nat just did this. Future thought, stop! Future thought! That's what we do. That's what we do. And the key thing here, Nat, you're really okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The key thing here is that we're not suppressing the thought. We see the thought. It's there. We're not ignoring the thought. We are choosing not to have the thought. And it's like, a newborn puppy who just doesn't know how to not go and want your attention. It takes training to train the puppy to not wake you up all night long. It takes repetition. It takes enormous patience and the recognition that just because these thoughts are coming up doesn't mean you're a failure. It means this isn't just a little shovel of a thought. This is a bulldozer of a thought that is a habit pattern that is coming through and you've got to meet it with enough force to stop it. Are you following me? So it's one level of thought to stop a little shovel coming through, you know, tap, 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 and you go, oh, come on, stop. Bulldozer starts coming through. These old thoughts that have so much power. Oh, stop isn't going to do it. It's like, Future thought. It takes intensity. It takes determination. It takes persistence. Future thought. Or in many of our cases, old thought. This is what happened last time. That person's going to come in here. This is what's going to happen. And off we are into the old thought because it happened before. At which point it's like old pattern, old thought, old pattern. Making sense? Okay. So now we've regulated. That's all regulating. That's all just regulating. And then we allowed and she was allowing the sensation to be there. Hey, we didn't even get to allow, did we? But she's done it enough times now that just in that piece of the regulation, she moved through. So the allow would look like, Are you willing?
Yeah.
You're doing great, Nat. And
thanks.
Please notice that it took maybe 5 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes for us to get her from "it's back again" to "I'm okay, mom." That was hours. That wasn't, what was the longest time that we were?
I don't know. I mean, I felt like a weekend, but I'm sure it wasn't that long. You know, I mean, in my mind, it was forever. So I don't know.
No, that's true. There was a really, really hard weekend right in the beginning. Yeah, there was. But otherwise, I mean, the actual crying and in the bed feeling life is falling apart, it says never going to get any better. I'd say those spells lasted no more than an hour. But just now we did it in minutes. But it's because her body now knows, her mind now knows. When she starts doing it, she means it. And it's trained now to get there faster.
And I've been able to do it myself a little bit more now. Like this week probably was like the first time, like I think I told you I have my little like tracker of my days. And like, this is the first time I had a few days of just total no anxiety. And I told my mom, like, I literally realized how much all day long I'm going like, no, like stop thinking about that. Cause I realized how much all day long I'm planning for when I have anxiety or if I have anxiety. I didn't even realize it. And I'm actually doing that myself a lot more and stopping the thoughts. And so I, for the first time. So it's a little, it feels more like I know what I'm doing a little more now when you do that. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is what we said in the beginning, right? It's like, for Brenda's thing, it's like, no, you have an inner Karen. you have it in you. And we want your inner, whatever we want to call it. We want that alive and strong and well. And that's a very real part of you that is just hasn't been allowed to wake up. Okay. So if we're going to go to the next step of allow, it would literally be, I would be watching her body or from my own body, softening the shoulders. If it's in the chest, okay, so let's soften the sternum, soften the ribs, and whatever that sensation is. And I would ask, so what is the sensation right now? And that just go with whatever you're feeling. You don't have to bring back the anxiety.
Thanks.
Just whatever the sensation is.
I'm a little bit buzzy, but like not in a bad way. Like I can feel it a little bit in me, but I'm calm. I feel it in my chest, but I'm not nauseous anymore.
So where in your chest is the buzzy? Is it right in your sternum? Is it in your spine?
It's like right under my heart, in my heart area.
Right under your heart area. And if you go in there, how big is that area? Is it the size of a dime, a nickel, a quarter, a golf ball? How big is the actual spot at its most intense?
There's like a tight little penny and then it kind of like spreads out. That's like a little looser.
And by the time, okay, so let's just kind of breathe in and let that penny be there. We're not going to resist it. Just allow that penny to be there. And then how far out does that buzziness extend? Is it in your shoulders?
No.
Is it in your, the sides of your ribs under your armpits?
No.
Is it in your lung, your right lung?
No.
Okay. So is it in your left lung?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's under the heart in your left lung. Okay. So let's breathe in. Just kind of breathe into that spot. And as you do, imagine that you're breathing in this warm. Now I'm going to use buttery because I know she loves butter and it's liquid gold, right? But you go with what works for you, right? And let's just breathe in this warm, yummy, comforting, golden liquid color and warmth into that spot and let it just comfort it and soft it. Let's just do that for a few breaths, just bringing in this very warm, nurturing, comforting energy into that penny. And then let's let that become just golden light, whitish, golden radiance And as you breathe in, bring that light into that tightness of the penny. And as it comes in, just let it, maybe just bring a little bit of space in there. And as you exhale, see if you can keep whatever spaciousness came in with that inhale, but let everything else go. And with each in-breath, you're just breathing in this comforting, open spaciousness, just making a little room in the tightness. And then the tightness just starts to dissolve away. You're keeping the spacious openness. And we just allow the feeling to be there, and we're breathing into it. We're not resisting it. We're just allowing it to be there. Softening the ribs, the shoulders, and just allowing that feeling to just move and spread as far as it needs to. Just not holding it tight. And then now that we're here, we're allowing it, we're not resisting it. Let's investigate for a moment. Now, at this point, Nat, I'm coming back, but at this point I'm going to explain. So this point, investigate. Nat is ready to explore what that was all about. She's calm. She's there. There are times we do this and we're barely allowing. We're barely allowing the sensation. I can feel she's still tight around it, right? But she's trying to allow it. At that point, investigate means we investigate the sensation. And just like I did with the penny, where are the edges? Then we get into more of the descriptors. Okay. Is it a cold buzzy? Is it a gentle buzzy? So you go in and you literally explore the sensation. The idea being that as you go in with a sense of curiosity, as if you've never explored this before. And it's like, oh, where is it? And this is that part of the technique where I say, okay, let me go a little bit to the right. We've done this. Let me go a little to the left. Let me go behind it. And is it the same? Is it different? And almost always, as Nat comes back, it's different. It's not the same, right? And that in alone is, oh, okay. It's not just this impenetrable sensation that's never going to shift. Are you following me? Is everybody following me here? So at this point, we might just stay and investigate the sensation. And then when we get to nurture, we'll nurture the sensation. In Nat's case right now, she's ready. She's calmed. The feeling is still there a little bit, but now we can investigate what was underneath it. So I might say, so Nat, there's so many ways to go with this part. Hold on a minute. At this point, we're going to start to investigate what is the cause, what is underneath the sensation, right? And it may be really obvious on one level. Like if I said to Nat, what do you think was going on with that? Where did she go? There you are. What brought that up? What was your first thought? What was the thought that came before the sensation started? What was the thought that came?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing this and then I'm going to have an actual panic attack and I'm going to actually go to the dark place in front of all of these people, and I've made so much progress and now I'm taking myself right back there. This is fucking crazy. Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't that beautiful? She's gotten so good at articulating this. That was really perfect, Nat. Thank you. And so the fear was you were going to go back to the dark place. But what was the cause? What was it that I said that triggered that response in you?
I don't know. I mean, you asked me how I was feeling and I knew I was supposed to be showing how we did this. And I, like in my mind, like that feeling's always like somewhere in me and I was like letting it free. Like I was afraid it was going to take me over.
And so you were, okay, hang on. Okay, stay with my questions. So what was it I said that as best you can remember, that triggered the arising.
She said, "Nat, are you ready? We're going to do this in front of all these people."
Okay. And so it was the thought of doing this in front of all these people is when I said that, that's when it took off, right? Okay. So what was it about doing this in front of all these people that triggered this?
Because I've been working so hard to not feel this way. And like, maybe actually, maybe I'm not being as healthy about it as I thought, because I've been trying so hard to stay away from it and avoid it and not think the thoughts and not touch that. And it's like, I've come so far because it was so horrible. And I've had like just enough relief that it's like the idea of even going close and trying to touch it is terrifying. And so the idea that I would be like voluntarily invited, or like the fact that even if I could feel it again, means maybe I didn't, haven't made any progress, because it can just come right back. That's where my brain started.
Wow. Was that a scary thought?
Yeah.
Very. What was so scary about it?
Because then it's back, and then I didn't actually do anything to fix it. I'm just having a little break, and then my life is going to be shitty forever because I'm going to live with anxiety and never be able to function like a human.
And is that a true thought?
No, but it feels really true.
It feels really true. But if you look at your, can you show them your sheet over there? Are you in a position?
Just yes, this so is embarrassing on one level. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So I made, these are like the big wall post-its. So like that's August. And so I did each date and I did a rating system, and then I would write what happened that day and some things I was grateful for. And then this is, or no, that was June. This one's July, and then this one's August. So I can like see the numbers right there.
Can everybody tell what she's showing you? She had the date. And remember I gave you a 1-2-3 scale?
Yeah.
One shit.
Like, yeah. So I had, yeah. And then I wrote like panic attack on the days I actually had panic attacks. And then on the scale, it was 1 to 3. And then just this last little bit, I added 4 and 5, and 4 and 5 means I actually had no anxiety those days. 1 to 3 was like a spectrum. And if you look at it, it's like 2, 1-1-1-2, 1-1+, 2, 3. And then it goes up. And then like, I'm actually mostly the time in like 3s. And then I started to move to 4s and 5. Like it goes up and down, but it's been a progression up.
So when she says, oh my God, I haven't made any progress, that's an old thought pattern, right? That is not true. That is not true. Now, in cause realm, that's the immediate cause that was right in front of us right now, dealing with old patterns. We could go a step deeper. We could go into, let's put what she just was talking about, samskaras, right? Those habit patterns that we're always working with. But I'm going to take us a little deeper into the samskara, and I'm going to go, so Nat, this idea that you can't make any progress, that this idea that took over, that you didn't get it right, it didn't make any difference. When do you remember feeling anything like that as you were growing up? Or, you know, what is the earliest memory of having a feeling like I'm not making progress, it's never going to get better, it's...
I don't even know. Early. I mean, I think part of it is like, I'm a person who always is good at everything. I figure everything out. I'm the smart one. I'm a motivated person. I'm a successful person. And so this feels like a failure if I'm not figuring this out and fixing it.
Yeah.
There's something there, right, of me having to not feel like a failure, I'm sure.
And so this would be the point then where we go, we have a chance to drop into a deep old pattern of, and I'm not going to put Nat on the spot here, but since I was the mom who did this shit to her, I'll tell you what's going on here, is there's a pattern of a mom who was like, it's not good enough. It was never, ever good enough, right? And so even cleaning the bathroom. Tell them, how was I about you cleaning the bathroom, Nat?
It was insane. I had to take a cloth and literally get around the entire window frame, like get all of the dust, like it was insane.
I was very picky. And so she grew up where it wasn't, even if, you know, for a 10-year-old, that was a really good job cleaning the bathroom, right? But in my head, I was going to teach her how to really clean. Well, but I did instead was I left her with the feeling she was never good enough. Never good enough. And so this idea that I can't fail, because if I fail, I'm going to get in trouble. We can go right back to mom, never, ever acknowledging what she did well and always saying, nope, you left some dust here. Oh, look, you, I told you this last time, you know, you need to remember to get blah, blah, blah. Now you can go ahead. We'll nurture her in just a little minute. Okay. We're going to investigate. We're going to come back to nurture. But so do you see, it's like, and it's for each one of us, we have these old, old perceptions that it's what I, my intention was just to teach her how to clean. My fear was I was overwhelmed. And if somebody else didn't help me clean that bathroom, I was going to go nuts because I was, my life was out of control, too much on me. And that I was doing the right thing as a parent to teach my daughter how to clean. I had there was nothing in my intention that included have your daughter feel like a failure. But her perception was accurately, I never do it well enough. If I don't do it well, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. So the work we do now is we go back and we look at those old, old perceptions and we say, whoa, so not true, mom. Totally uncool to have a 10-year-old operate at that level of detail and perfection, unless she's a triple Virgo. And you know, with a lot of Capricorn on the side, it's like, it's not going to happen, mom. That was ridiculous. That was out of line. That was not okay. And she tells her mom that when she goes into that meditation on a Monday, that might be one of the things. Actually, we're going to post a version of the meditation we did Monday. It's a little different version, but I'll put it up for you on the site. I'll have Darcy put it up on Monday. Actually, Darcy doesn't get back from vacation till Wednesday. So we'll get all of this posted on Wednesday. But it's a meditation that allows you a moment to talk back to the parent or the person and say, that was uncool. No. And I'm not going to let you talk to me like that anymore. That was uncool. It was not true. It was an unrealistic expectation. Are you following me here? Sometimes I'm in my head and I may be leaving pieces out, but the important piece is that when we get to this level, we recognize that there is a perception that we need to update. Let's just put it that way. Update. I feel like I should go hug my children. I know. But you know what? As we get older and we recognize, I can't tell you the healing it is. Nat, will you tell them to hear me say, yeah, I'm so sorry. That was not okay. Does it feel nice to have your parents say that?
Yeah. And not to make this my personal therapy session, but I think like the other step from that is right. Is if I'm a failure, I'm not doing things good enough, then my mom doesn't love me, then I'm not worthy of love. And like through all of this, that's the deeper thing that has been through all of these things for me just personally. And I think what's really helpful now is especially this unique situation. My mom is hearing like, she loved me and loves me, right? Like love was not a part of that whole thing. And even now, cause there's other situations in my life where maybe people don't like me and they don't love me. And that might be true. The other piece we do of like, just saying like, okay, well fine, but I actually really do love me. And like that is the piece that's been, I'm not 100% there yet. I'm working on it, but that is the piece that feels also very healing as well, is to like correct, like my mom loved me as much as I love my kids, which I know how that feels. So it's like, holy crap, you know, of course she did. And then I can love me that much too. Not to bunny trail, but that was a kind of important piece. So
that was beautiful. That was beautiful. You kind of summed it up so beautifully there, Nat. Thank you. Thank you. So there we go. That was so moving. I lost track of where I am and what I'm talking about. But that's the vasana work. That's the deep work. And that's the corrections. And as she so beautifully encapsulated for us, it's that part of, oh, I need to love me. I need to pay attention to what I'm experiencing. I need to pay attention to my emotions, my thoughts. And when we do that, we find our wholeness. And when we're whole, nothing in the outside world can scare us anymore. Anything is possible. That's not my quote. That's Carolyn Mace. Nothing in the outside world can scare me anymore. Anything is possible. Because I'm whole. I'm whole. Natalie, thank you, sweetheart. That was so beautiful. So yeah. Beautiful.
Well, thank you, Mom.
Well, and thanks everybody for participating in this journey. I mean, Nat, we started it at your request, but it's all of us doing this together helps us realize. I mean, my daughter's sitting there going, you had anxiety, Mom? It's like, yeah. Yes. I was paralyzed in a chair crying because I couldn't make a fucking phone call. I was so terrified, right? It's like, and then to see all of us are here because we have that in common, which brings us back to there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong. This is human. This is human. This is human. Oh, so many thoughts. So the nurture part of this technique is, as Nat just said, for when we've moved into the cause, we're able to go into the cause underneath it, loving ourselves, caring for ourselves, having compassion for ourselves, as Nat so beautifully said. If we're back in the sensation and we're still just, we're not regulated enough to go into cause, because you got to have some you got to be balanced enough to go into those places, because it's not necessarily fun. So if we're in the other place, the nurturing becomes that booty part of us, this part of us that's kind of watching us from up here, is this that says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm here. I'm paying attention. It's going to be okay. And we start to train our body, train our mind to recognize that there's now a part of us that has grown up, that has become, let's say, the grown up in the room, that has matured enough to say, and we don't have to be perfect at it. It's a process to say, okay, I'm here. I'm paying attention. I see what's going on and I'm taking care of you now. I'm showing up for this. I'm here. It's going to be okay. We could even say, I don't know how it's going to be okay, but I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay because Karen said so. I know it's going to be okay because all the great teachers said so. I know it's going to be okay because the great scriptures said so. I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. You can do this is another one. You can do this. I'm here. I'm paying attention. So that nurture when we're in the sensation includes you paying attention to you. Remember, all your inner being wants is your attention. Not your spouses, not your children's, not your bosses, not your coworkers, not your neighbors, not your boyfriends, not your pets. It just wants your attention. It wants you to listen when it's scared. It doesn't want you to go, I'm not scared. It wants you to listen. It wants you to hear it say, I am fucking terrified to walk into that room. I don't want to do it. And it wants you to say, I know. I hear you. I hear you. I don't want to. I know. I get it. And I'm here. I'm walking in there with you. You're not alone. I'm coming with you. And as one of our moms coined the most beautiful phrase, we can do awkward. We can do uncomfortable. You did the ice cube, right? You can do the ice cube. You know you can do uncomfortable. And so you say, okay, we can do uncomfortable. We can, whatever it is, you need to tell yourself. That's what you tell yourself. But the fact that you are observing it and you are telling yourself means that you're not in it. That's your victory. Yes, Lisa, exactly. Yes, that's your victory. Did I make my point? So, Ramon, did that answer it?
Oh my God, I can't even tell you how much that answered it. You guys, and you know, I just want to acknowledge Nat. Thank you so much for being courageous enough to do, to let us follow you up on your journey and do this, because I don't know a lot of people that be able to do this. So you are, I send you this in the chat, but you are my hero. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you all, honestly, for being so safe and supportive and wonderful. I appreciate it.
Yeah, truly, truly, truly. My teacher, huh? Let me introduce you to my teacher. Once upon a time, she was Natalie Lehua Prentice. Now she's Natalie Lehua Johnson. Oh my gosh. Ramon, thank you for, you just kind of, you captured it. Yeah. Should we take a break? Should we take a little break? I think it's break time. We only got half an hour. Oh my gosh, we got a lot to cover. So let's take a 2-minute break. Just 2 minutes. Stand up, stretch, go fill your teacup, take a quick pee, and then come back. No, not even time to poop. Just pee and come back. Okay? And I'll see you in 2 minutes. At 5 minutes after the hour, we'll come back.